Tom Gazzola joins us. And Tommy, very popular choice. The audience voted. I think that was the biggest percentage win of any of our movies, and it did not disappoint. The Equalizer with Denzel. I haven't seen that type of action film in a while. I loved it.
I really, really liked that movie. And to everybody that voted for it, thank you. Greg, listen, I knew it existed, but I didn't know it was that good. And listen, it's an action movie. Some of the stuff at the end in the last battle and stuff is a little bit quirky, and I don't know if it's out to lunch, but I don't think I'm ever going to look at someone who works at Home Depot the same way again.
Hey, why not? You just, as they walk in, you're like, geez, is this guy retired? Is he just hanging out here, seeing what's going on? But yeah,
he's,
I like the calm approach. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how they made it that he eyed up the situation.
Yes.
Very, you know, they'd go into his eyes at certain times. This is what he's seeing. I thought it was just different. I thought it was, well done. So I liked it a lot. So it was a good pick. So kudos to all the audience, knew what they were talking about in this one, unlike District 9. Anyway, let's move along. The NFL is studying a face guard that works like a surgical mask. What do you think of this?
I mean, considering where we're at right now with everything, I'm like, okay, great. I mean, there's engineers out there. There's people that are forward thinking. And if they want to protect players in football, and obviously COVID-19 is still out there, and this is a way to do it, then okay. And just reading up on this, Greg, you know, they're working with Oakley. Oakley obviously does visors that we see in the CFL, NFL, XFL, NCAA, U Sport. And Oakley, you know, from reading the articles about this, like, they could extend the visor down into the face mask, or they're working with some of those N95 type of materials as well for the players, so that, you know, spit and saliva and all that doesn't go flying into one another while this virus is still out there. So I think it's interesting, some ingenuity, obviously, and if they can come up with something that you know, that they think works and the players okay it. Obviously, the players, it's a big thing. You know, we've heard hockey players, you know, would they have to switch to a full bubble shield type of thing? That's been floated out there a little bit. I don't know if the players would be up for that. But it's always up to the players. But at least there's some thought going into this to try to protect as much as possible. And it might look different for a year, Greg. But if it works, then fine, so be it. Like, I can't see you know, extending a face shield down to be that much of an issue. When you look at hockey, it's a little bit different because you got the chin piece there. And in football, you've already got a chin cup. And there's a bigger gap between where the face mask is from your face as opposed to generally a hockey bubble mask. You know what I mean? So maybe you have a little bit more freedom, let's call it, in the mouth/chin area on a football helmet. So I'm curious to see if this goes anywhere, and I think any idea at this point is one I think you got to look at.
Well, I suspect, because reading all the reports on it, they're so far down with this that it's far enough along, they probably believe it's going to be a recommendation. Now, whether or not the players agree to it, that's a whole other story, because
exactly.
You got to have comfort, number one, right? But it's going to be different for players. It's like when you all of a sudden made every player coming into the league had to wear a visor. Now, lots of them wore visors in junior, so it's not like a big transition for a lot of players. They didn't force any. But this is a different situation where it might be like, hey, if you want to play and if you want to make some money, you're just going to have to get used to. Because a lot of guys wear in football, and you've seen more and more every year, that are wearing the tinted visors and are wearing visors even clearer just because they want to protect their eyes. And some of them do it just because the lights and stuff bother their eyes. Well, this would just be an extension of that. So it is unique to see how they, you know, where it goes from here. And I'm quite curious to see what it does, because if the NFL has something, I'm sure the NHL is going to look, but it is two very different helmets. And right now in hockey, you have visors. And you have some players, the older players, who don't even wear a visor. So it would be an adjustment for some players. And the difference being in hockey, you know, the puck's in your feet. In football, that's not really the problem, Right. So that's where I know players, the one thing they've said, it's their vision that they don't like is if they look down, now they can't see the puck. And that's obviously a major cause, a major concern.
Yep. And like you said, the technology with these things is pretty advanced. And Oakley's working on it. And another thing that's interesting, too, is fogging up is an issue. And with football players and Oakley working hand in hand, they have an anti-fog solution that they use for the U.S. military already, so they can incorporate some of that technology as well. But that's a good point about hockey players looking down and then football players. Everything, you're supposed to keep eyes up, right, when you're playing football. I didn't play football, but everything I've read and heard from pro football people is that that's what they say. So that's a good point. But if this is a one-year thing, Greggs, and it's a safety thing and it helps, I think that's for the better. And we get to enjoy pro sports again.
Interesting, you and I talked about this last week, but the XFL looking for a buyer, and the buyer could be its founder, Vince McMahon.
The twists and turns of this saga is just unbelievable. And the whole Oliver Luck thing a week or two ago, the former commissioner, you know, suing the XFL for money owed and the XFL countersuing. And now all of a sudden, the bids for the auction to purchase the XFL are supposed to be in by July 6th. So still like a month and a half to go. And what if Vince McMahon is the guy that buys the XFL again? And it seems like there's some inklings that that might be the case, because the XFL president has gone to the arena lease people stadium lease people in St. Louis and Seattle already, and they're talking about a ticket refund to the fan bases. Like, is there not some kind of moral or business clause where you can't, you know, just buy your old company out of bankruptcy? I don't know business on that side, but wouldn't that be circumventing, money owed and stuff like that if he ends up buying this league all over again? And on top of that, he would have to build it all up. Everybody's a free agent. Everyone that worked at the XFL last year is a free agent. And how many of those people would be willing to come back? Like, it's unbelievable where this is going. I don't know, Greg. Like, could you see this being feasible?
I'd have to look at all the legalities of it.
Right.
But I would think the shareholders or the creditors are the ones who are likely going to have the biggest objection. Right? Because what happens, season ticket refunds? That was the big thing, right? They claim bankruptcy, and the people that had paid for season tickets and then didn't get the games, they didn't get a refund.
Right.
Whereas, if you have season tickets for the orders, you get a refund for those final seven games if you don't renew your season tickets. You get that legally because they're obviously not going out of business. Whereas the XFL, they went out, and there was something like $3.5 million. So what happens? How do they do that? So that, and if it's a slimy way to get around paying that back, that's pretty greasy. And, that would really infuriate, I think, some of your season ticket holders. How would you get them back? So they would have to do that, I think, would be the first thing to do somehow. It's ensuring that their season ticket holders either get their money or they get that credited to the next season. Then I think there's
right.
a chance.
Yeah, the ethics on this, I would have to ask people that would know more about it, too. But, man, you're right. It seems slimy, but... over the course of history, Vince McMahon has done some interesting things in his business dealings. Let's just put it that way.
Totally true. Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Tommy, there's lots of, we had Tom Anselmi on, and he admitted he didn't have a lot of answers on to what's going to happen with this bid. The province and the city now have come on board behind this. Do you think it's a good thing for the city?
Absolutely, without question. And it's a point of pride. You know what? It puts the city more so on the map, in the limelight, if you will. And on top of that, it builds clout with the league, between the organization and the league. And that would probably, be a building block to getting, let's say, another Heritage Classic or an All-Star game or a draft or potentially a World Cup, something like that. So on a lot of fronts, it is a very good thing for the city, absolutely. And on top of that, people that wouldn't be curious to know how Edmonton, Alberta is doing in terms of the entire global pandemic. That would come to light, and it would highlight some of the good things that the health community has done, and just people in the community, how they've handled COVID-19. So there's so many positives to having the NHL here and Edmonton being a host city that, you know, it's nice to see all levels of government. I mean, certainly the civic and the provincial levels of government boosting this thing, working with OEG, communicating with the National Hockey League, and then, you know, when the time is right, talking to the federal government about how it can work this into making it a reality. It has a lot of boxes that it ticks for a lot of good reasons. And, you know, you could pump your chest and say, hey, this is my city, and look what it's been able to do, bring in all these people at a time when the world's suffering, and help bring some relief in terms of bringing sporting events back. It's such a good thing, Greggs, if it can happen. And, you know, there seems to be a lot of positive momentum going forward and a lot of people on the same page that I would like to see Edmonton host games personally. Absolutely. As someone who's been born and raised here, 100%. And then, listen, if it doesn't work out and at the end of the day the NHL decides not to use Edmonton as a host city, I would still be happy that there would still, in theory, be hockey happening. But Edmonton ticks all the boxes. It has the facilities. If you fill up one hotel, we're talking about the JW, and you need extra space, like, you go across the Pedway and there's the Sutton Place. You know what I mean? You can close all of that off. So logistically and all of that, Edmonton, it just makes a ton of sense, quite frankly.
Tommy, have yourself a wonderful Wednesday. We will chat with you at the May.
Sounds good, Greg. Looking forward to it.